Hello and welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Toon Podcast is sponsored by Marcos Chipper. You canna beat the scran doing it, Marcos. This week, Peterhead General Manager Martin Johnson gives us an update on the club through the pandemic and how ready they are for the new season.
Glad to be back again, boys. Is this a first? Is it the first time we've had somebody back twice?
Yeah, you're breaking the mould here.
Oh, right, okay. So, scraping the bottom of the barrel out.
You said it to us. Right, you're going to be on here to kind of discuss what's been happening with the club in the last six months or so. But it would be remiss of us if we didn't mention that beard that you are now sporting. How is that coming along, and is that here to stay?
That wasn't mentioned in the pre-show discussion. what actually came about was what are they going to do once we were told on the 13th of March that there's no football. I'd said, Joe Grass says, well, I'm going to grow a beard to wear our next competitive game, thinking it were going to be about a fortnight, 3 weeks. 10th of October, after the Dundee United game, straight after the game, obviously, but the following day, it will be disappearing. I have spoken about keeping the goatee till we score and keeping the moustache till we win. But I'm getting, let's just say, it's nearly the most popular decision in the house to grow this. So, 10th of October will be the last time. It'll get one public outing at Tannadice on the 10th of October. That'll be it.
Good stuff. And in the meantime, you've been keeping yourself busy. A lot of folk have been trying to keep themselves busy, but you, yourself, have become a bit of a YouTube sensation. The Northern Lights, you want to tell us about that?
When I say keep myself busy, we had to do a report for the SPFL Trust this week, or last week, and didn't realise how much things we had been doing as a club and as a collective. Nothing kind of Charles through the club secretary, which is the hat I've been wearing during the lockdown, as opposed to general manager, because we've had that to manage. I've been obviously stuck at home mostly. I've also built a huge deck in summer house in my garden. Next door neighbour nicknamed it the Ark. And given the fact that I've got this as well, I'm expecting the residents of Methven to be queuing up two by two the next time there's a big fall. But I think it really kind of taken over as the Northern Lights. Hats off to you guys. We've no intention of encroaching on your business. The guys that do the podcast, and there have been lots of them springing up all over the place, to be fair. And some have been really good. Some of them have been different, to say the least.
Yeah.
But I would have to say, I'm not going to say this, but no, the Blue Toon podcast is up there with the good guys. In respect, it's been very informative, etc. And it's difficult to speak about your football club week in, week out when there's no football, you know. So you've done a stellar job. But no, Northern Lights kind of come about as you know, I'm a Rothesloon, born and bred. And Dave Edwards, former P&J High League correspondent, is a Rothes guy as well. And we're talking about, it's a general conversation about things. And we had agreed that it's quite sad that we knew quite a lot of characters in the game over the years. Sandy Stables at Keith, Jock McDonald at Inverness Thistle. I think you've got to include the likes of Robbie Warnder at Peterhead. Great characters. Great stories, none of which have been documented by the guys themselves, because obviously they're no longer with us. And I'd said that, I throw away Mark, just maybe we should start making an effort to record some of these stories. And Dave says, well, everybody's doing these podcasts, maybe we can do a podcast. And I said, well, actually, I think a Zoom meeting last week. I was quite impressed how that went, and maybe we could do something as Zoom. And says, well, Dave, 6 months, what do you think? I says, well, we could do one, do two. I've certainly got lots of contacts through my years in football. Dave's got lots of contacts. listen, I says, if we get 20 or 30 folk a week tuning in, that's got to be a success story. And he says, well, if we get as much as that, that'll be brilliant. He says, he was thinking maybe along two or three. Yeah. I says, well, I'll get somebody to do in a kill this at the board and buggers. Yeah, it was been beautiful and sunny outside to get things done. So did the first one, and he phones me the next day and he says, have you seen the figures? And I went, well, we've got our 30. He says, times 10 with 350 odd. I said, well, obviously it'll never get better than that. It'll be we've hit our peak right at the start. I said, but if the content's good, we'll keep that 350. And so we're now averaging, I think it is 930 folk a week. And we're away to record on Wednesday our 19th show. And the plan is at the moment that if we can get to 24 shows before calling it a day, because obviously you'll know better than most the amount of work it goes into preparing it. And you get some guests that get cold feet at the 11th hour. So you've tried to find somebody 24 hours before you're due to record and try not to let them think that they're just standing in because somebody else backed out. But I mean, it's been good. We've been live New Zealand, live Australia, Denmark, and then last week's show passed from all the way to Hollywood, which was really quite interesting. That was the most challenging show yet. My editing skills were really put to task, let's say, just to keep the legal people away from this, because it's only supposed to be a bit of fun. But it's been absolutely brilliant, and the response has been good. Very, very quickly, we've got in Tau, we Alzheimer's Scotland and Football Memories Scotland. So we made a decision, look, this is an amateur show, we're not looking for funding, we're not looking for sponsorship, we can't do the big deals, like, you know, we know Marco's got a huge financial commitment to another well-known show, so that was never going to happen. So we wanted to keep it amateur, but we were delighted that we could have an association with two really good organisations who do a sterling job, and what I think they've been doing is, because the Football Memories people hadn't been able to have their meetings, they've actually been sending out the link for folk so they can watch the show. And the great thing about the show, like you guys as well, is they can spend some time on it and then go away and do whatever. And the plan always was to do an hour and a half, but we're now probably averaging just over 3 hours a show. And to be honest, we could go even longer. We've stopped recording at 3.5 hours and then spent another 45 minutes speaking to the guys once we're off air. And it obviously it helps because, you know, we know all the people that's been on the show, and it's been great catching up with them. Interesting to discover their memories isn't as good as it used to be, or they're just being polite, because you used to think I was a half decent referee. That's not what they thought when I was a referee.
it's your show, though. That's what it is.
Well, maybe, but no, it's been phenomenal, and it's triggered. I found it therapeutic in respect that they've mentioned names that I've forgotten about. Guys, I remember him, you know, wonder what ever happened to him, sort of thing. Okay? And if that's what's helping people who have got memory issues, then it's served its purpose. But if we can get to 24 before we start kicking a ball in earnest, we'll be delighted. And who knows, we'll maybe do a Christmas special or something like that. As I say, it is a lot of work. So hats off to you guys who, you know, you must have to do, they like some ebooks, I'm fairly bland kind of stuff, but some of your guests, you need to be on the ball with you know, and that's the good thing about the two of us, like you guys, we have Dave, and some folk have been critical about the fact we've got three guests, but until you've got folk on your show, you don't know how they're going to be. We've had folk who took a wee while to warm up, and it's difficult to record a show with yes, no answers.
Yeah.
And then there's folk like Paul Darcy, I'll name names, who gets a 3-minute introduction slot and 18 minutes later we still can't get a word so much so that we had to have him on at a second show, and we come off thinking, well, that was a disaster, and the Panthers just loved it. He was just, you know, forgetting he was on air when we were speaking to other folks, so he's fiddling about with his phone and falling off his seat, just absolutely superb, great, great view. We'll look back at that in years to come and think, how do we get away with that? So, no, brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
But it just, it shows as well that there's obviously an appetite for something like that. Obviously, what we do, what you've been doing as well, there's obviously an interest in amateur football or in northern football that doesn't really get mentioned quite a lot. So,
I've had views on this for a long, long time, and you know there are times in your you know, in my career where I've been sort of between clubs or whatever, and I thought, you know, why doesn't a radio station, you know, have a radio show where maybe the West Coast R team and C team are banned for being mentioned? And almost like, I know you can't do it now, but I used to love getting the Green Final. Mm-hmm. You know, the Green Final. Oh. Was a phenomenal paper. I'm told, I'm reliably informed, that the Green Final was the best paper in the suite of products that Aberdeen Journals produced, that took in the most advertising and had the best sales per printed copy. But I suppose the advent of social media, they saw the writing on the wall, that folk maybe didn't want to read about something, you know, after you've already seen it online a couple of hours earlier. But I thought if you could have taken the Green Final and produced it as a radio programme, and, you know, you're saying, right, what, you know, has your amateur team been playing today? Who have they been playing? You know, who scored the goals today? What was the major incidents, etc.?
Yeah.
And if you had somebody switched on with the league tables, etc., in the studio, you could say, oh, well, that's Chatham Rovers, you know, third in the table now. Yeah. Listen, folk would listen to it.
Oh, yeah.
But the demand and the figures that radio stations are looking for are colossal. So where we're saying we're getting 930 viewers a week, 930 listeners is insufficient. So, there's a huge void. And there are a number of, I suppose, things that the Pye and Bovril, has there really been, you know, taken on board by the Coves, the Peterheads, or the Elgin Cities, the modern day football, Fitba, what's the North one, Fitba North, is it?
It's
a Highland League one anyway. I think it's very popular. It says me, it's not on it, but my problem with these things is I get sucked into them, and suddenly I want to participate, and you know, you're not getting any work done. So, but there is definitely a desire and an appetite for fans to have direct access to their teams. One of the really successful stories at the moment is there's a Facebook page called Highland League Legends, and it's a closed group. You have to have played or managed in the Highland League, or been an ex-referee or a club committee member or, you know, director or whatever before you can be in that. And it's phenomenal because in the last few months, you've had the likes of Bobby Wilson and all these guys joining. There's some pretty big name hitters on that. But obviously, it's not open to the general public because the minute you do that, you get opinions that are naysought and grudges aired and so on. But there is a sister Facebook page called The History of the Highland League. And a lot of folk, you know, relate to that. And let's not forget, the Highland League is a huge bit of Peterhead's history. Humongous piece of Peterhead's history. And there are so many players who went from Highland League to play for Peterhead, or went from Peterhead to play Highland League. Jim Martinelli's got a great interest in the Highland League. He actually watches some of our shows as well. You know, and we put players to like the Broch and Loan and so on and so forth. So there's still a huge Highland League. And I think we've got a good relationship. And of course, nae forget, they are part of the pyramid system now. So so it's near them and us. It's, you know, they're just a couple of tiers down at the moment. And don't you forget. Well, it seems a constant reminder to us all. The Highland League is only two poor seasons away. It's good that there are a number of podcasts and shows doing the rounds just now. I hope a lot of them remain. A lot of them are doing a local thing. We try to appeal to the wider audience. I believe through Dave Edwards that in the Central Belt, there's a couple of guys trying to get something set up from a junior point of view. They've seen what we're doing and said, oh, definitely would be a need for this in the Central Belt for junior clubs. So if by having Northern Lights, if that's helped some other group of guys in a far off land, do something, then so be it. It's been really good. And as I say, it's been great catching up with old guys, older guys. It's brilliant. And we've had a couple of people, sorry, I'm eating alive a cable here. We've had a couple of guys, a couple of clubs get in touch with us saying, would you be prepared to maybe do something live, like a Sunday lunchtime or whatever? This was never planned to be a commercial entity, but we'll see how it goes. I'm just chomping at the bit to get back to FIPA. And once I'm focused on that, there's a lot of work. And need to suspect to Northern Lights, it has to take its place. So, you know, 19th show this week. If we get another 5 shows in the next few weeks, then that'll just line us up tidy for the start of the season at last.
Good stuff. So, as you mentioned it then, the club that you essentially work for then, how has life been for the club? We'll start maybe on the bad side, a couple of bereavements, and then news of Natty Porter as well. He obviously tested positive. How's he now?
Yep. Well, I think a good measure of Natty's health is the fact that he's back playing golf. So I think that speaks volumes. Natty had it pretty bad. It was perhaps, and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, but it was maybe a wee bit of a wake-up call for Natty, because a lot of us were, when the COVID thing first came out, a few folk were quite dismissive of the whole thing. Can it be as bad as that, and so on and so forth. And within days of us going into lockdown, Natty was ill, and when you're in a position to be able to pick up your phone and send a text, that's the measure of how ill, you can be. So, we were really, really concerned about that, because obviously he's had health issues in the past with other things. And he got a couple of scares, I think, along the way. His family and immediate sort of friends during the boom rallied round, and he's a thrawn wee individual, and he wasn't forgiven in, and unfortunately he didn't have to actually go to hospital at any point. Peterhead being Peterhead, there was lots of rumours going, but I think he managed to avoid that particular option, and slowly but surely he has been building up his strength and getting back to health. And in recent weeks I've been giving him very minor tasks that he can do, send a couple of emails here, complete this form and sign the following document for me. It's important that he still feels very much part of the club, and fingers crossed he's going to be able to come back, if not at the beginning of October, certainly by our first home game. No, tough times, and I'm delighted We actually had him in Northern Lights as well, and he was in really good form. So, yeah, immensely popular guy with the club. And I think that showed when the, and it was quite sort of heart-rending when we asked for the kids that he coaches, etc., to send in pictures. We put them together as a collective and put them up on Facebook. You know, he's a popular, popular guy, and I'm delighted that he's come through the whole thing.
Yeah, well, we'll be pleased to see him again once the season starts, and hopefully he's back to kind of normality like everybody else, yeah, sooner rather than later.
As you say, we've had a couple of bereavements as well. People associated with the club now, people who are former players with the club, and so on and so forth. And obviously that's a fact of life. It's a fairly common occurrence that every week, couple of weeks or so, that someone is going to move on, you know, through age if nothing else, without any health issues. But what makes it more difficult is the fact that we haven't been able to extend our condolences to the extent we normally would. The club chaplain, Neil Cameron, put a very nice post up on Facebook, the club Facebook page, just to say, you know, whilst these people are gone, we haven't, the club haven't forgotten them. We have acknowledged the fact that, you know, we've lost them. And only today we said goodbye to Mark Bremner. And for the first time since lockdown, we've been able, as a group, because of constraints one way or the other, but for the first time we were able to pay tribute to Mark just by showing his family and friends our presence as the funeral cortege made their way past us. And it's important we do that because Peterhead isn't just a football club, it's a family. And, you know, that's something fairly evident that I found when I came to the club, that everybody mucks in and helps each other. And, you know, we all feel the pain when something like this happens. So, you know, it's sad times, but, you know, we do what we can and the best we can. So, but it's difficult when you kind of, you know, do it in a normal format, that's for sure.
Yeah, but I think it's still important to kind of show some kind of support to the family, given the constraints that we've got.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. I mean, we only wish we could do more. That's the bottom line.
Yep. Okay. So we've had football for about 6 months now, really, almost. In that time, say, some financial constraints in the club. We'll start with the Super 50-50 draw. How pleased were you with the success of that?
Yeah, well, I mean, we were at a loss as to what, I think we spoke about this before, but it's worth mentioning. We looked long and hard to see what we would do as a collective to help fund the club through a really difficult time, because in essence, the income top just got shut off overnight, because obviously no football income, but we cancelled all the functions at the facility. The bar closed, the coffee shop closed, staff were furloughed, including myself, so couldn't sell stuff online. I mean, it was just, everything came to a grinding halt. Now, there is still a lot of expenditure. Now, whilst there was a furloughing of the wages, that certainly eased things. But a big facility like Balmoral Stadium takes a lot of money to run, even just to tick over. So, yeah, really, really big hardships were on the horizon. We were looking at what other clubs were doing fundraising wise. There was the option to crowdfund, where basically you're in essence going around with a begging hat. I think a wee bit of pride prevent us from doing that, but we're also big believers that if you're asking people to contribute, they should get something for their money. Some clubs were selling season tickets for a very early stage. We stayed well away from that for a simple reason. At that moment in time, there was talk of reconstruction. So how can you sell a ticket for a reconstructed league? I mean, we didn't know if we were going to be in a Liga 10, a Liga 12. I think at one point we were possibly even going to be in a Liga 22. So how could you sell a product that you can't measure what the cost is at a very early stage? And I was quite surprised how some clubs did that. But that was probably on a scale of probability that was right at the bottom as an option. And then the chairman had said, oh, we should maybe look at the things we do already and see if we can do something maybe bigger and better. And that's when the suggestion was, that, because we are certainly of the opinion, the Peterhead FC 50-50 is probably one of the best 50-50s in the first and second division, maybe the championship. You know, for games that have similar crowds, it's phenomenal. You know, it probably equates, probably take on average about £1 per spectator. For games. Now, I've been at games where there's been a couple of thousand folk and the 50-50 prize has been £200. Yeah. So the chairman thought, well, can we make that bigger and better? So that's what we did. We enrolled the services of an Irish-based company who specialise in online ticket sales. They had a number of products already built for accommodating ticket sales, etc., and raffles. And when we explained to them what we wanted, instead of building something new at a huge cost, they modified one of their existing products, and that allowed us to do the 50-50. Had some slight teething problems for a start. I think people are loath to read the instructions on the screen, just press buttons and when it wasn't working. So ended up making a wee video to talk people through it. I think it was an accusation of, I think the word used at one point was condescending, but it was supposed to be humorous, but there you go. And I don't know if you were watching the Facebook posts, because I was doing that from home here, and on the draw finished at midnight on a Friday night, and that last day was just unbelievable, because I think in the end, when I'd said to my wife, I can't attend a mark of ten, I said, I'm not going to go to my bed, this thing's still, you know, going, people are going to be disappointed at this rate. I think I was putting stuff up laterally every 15, 20 minutes. Yeah. And some folk were saying, how on earth, you know, on the Saturday, how on earth could there be that much money? I went away to my bed at, you know, 8 o'clock on Friday night or 9 o'clock on Friday night, and there was only that. But I think we took in over £10,000 on a Friday, which was phenomenal. So it meant, obviously, that, you know, and I think we're just short of, or just over £38,000 took in, which is, you know, well done, Peterhead. That's just unbelievable. It gave the people that participated the opportunity to win some money. So the club made money. And the public made money. Now, obviously, the directors couldn't participate in the 50-50, or I would have to move house if some of them. Again, I think it was the chairman suggested, well, why don't we, you know, support our partnership Friends of Anchor? And they agreed that they would match 10% of the total money raised to Friends of Anchor by means of a donation from the directors. Just the other week we had a very nice letter back. Once obviously they got their cheque, we got a very, very nice letter back from our friends at Friends of Anchor. said, because it's been difficult times for the charities as well.
Yes.
So, you know, 50-50, probably saw us through. We'd have paid all the bills, etc., for maybe, I'm not going to say a month, but probably for about 6 weeks. So, it gives you some idea of what the outgoings are at the club at any given time. So,
Was you surprised by how well it did, Martin?
Phenomenally. Yep. Phenomenally.
Did you have a target in mind prior to doing the 50-50?
Well, there were two targets. There was a target at the board of directors thought, and there was the chairman's target.
A bit different.
We were neither the chairman's target. He'll say he was disappointed. But no, joking apart, no, never in a million years expected. I mean, let's say that I was delighted with what the figure was on the Thursday, and that final Friday night, I think there was for a good part of the evening, there was a look of disgust for my wife and daughter because I had alerts on my phone. And every time what happened was that every time somebody bought a ticket, I get an email from the organising company to say, you know, Colin Byers has bought a ticket. Or half a ticket. So, you know, at certain points it was going ping, 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 ping. My wife's going, that can't be folk, but I said, everyone has a ticket sale. And I was running back and forth to the dining room, writing, doing another note, because my biggest fear with anything comes from a technology point of view is, what if it goes wrong? What if something just disappears off the screen? So I actually did a physical record as well, as each and every sale came in, and then we cross-referenced them just to make sure that you know, everything was legit and above board. And it worried me from day one, because there was never a number one ticket. The first sale was Willie Miller, who bought tickets, and his first number was number two. And I was always concerned that has somebody out there bought a number one ticket? We've now got him, forbid if they come back this now and say, oh, I had number one. So I was always wary from day one. So I did, and I maybe created a bit of work for myself doing that, but I did a physical check as well. You know, when we got to the Saturday to do the draw, Bob Moore with Jim, etc., it was just, I was blown away by, you know, well done the people up here. We really, really have to applaud you for your efforts. You know, it was a phenomenal show of support for the club.
Is it something you might consider doing again annually, or do you think that's it?
Well, it's already been spoken about that we might do something similar at Christmas time, but not to the same extent. Mm-hmm. And expect that we might do a Christmas raffle, just a raffle where you know, along the lines of £5 a ticket and, you know, six for a fiver type thing. So it would be, you know, we could. I don't know, and I'm just throwing out ideas here at the moment. It could be like we have 50 prizes, and they're all everything from a voucher for hospitality to a Christmas cake and a bottle of whatever. Going back to my days at Rothes Football Club, they used to do a huge Christmas draw. We did ones at Fermartin. It was colossal, because it was done in conjunction with the Fermanagh United Youth Academy. So there was 17 youth teams selling tickets as well. And then I spent probably January, February and March trying to find addresses so I could get, you know, Sultana cakes delivered to folks. So there was a slight downside. But, you know, with everything from, you know, we basically just asked sponsors donate something for a raffle. So, yeah. You know, certainly we had five or six TVs, and, you know, just, you know, brilliant kind of prizes. So we might do something like that at Christmas time. But we are conscious as well, there's lots of other things going on at the same time. But we're going into a whole new era, and we just no idea what the marketplace is going to be like out there for these things.
But you never know, things like that might just be the thing to kind of keep things going, you know.
There's no doubt about one thing, it's for sure. is that the age of online ticket purchasing is with us. And in the future, it may well be that you buy your match day tickets online. It may well be that you buy your season tickets online, Platinum Club, so on and so forth. You know, it's a changing market out there. And we're sometimes maybe guilty of being a wee bit slower to move with the times. Only 2 years ago, you know, you couldn't buy your match day ticket with a card at a club, you know, believe it or not. And now we've got them in the ticket office, and we've got two machines in the main office, you know. I mean, it's just the way things are. And now you're contactless as well, you know, you're just ping and that's it. So I think the days of maybe selling 50-50s upstairs in the sponsor's lounge, the last you'll have a machine wear, and you'll just take your card out and go ping. That's here. So in fact, you know, we don't know if we're coming back to crowds or not. And one suggestion that was thrown about today when I met the chairman was that maybe we could do our 50-50s. So if we're, you know, if our first home game of the season is behind closed doors, maybe we could do our 50-50 online so that folks still feel that they're taking part of the game. I mean, one huge success, as I've told you before, guys, is the match programme. Which is online. Looks like we've really set a trend, because I think somebody was saying at the match the other night, the Rangers match the other night, they didn't have a programme for it. I mean, why would you produce a programme unless you've got guaranteed sales, you know? And it's a bit, you know, producing a programme for a club that has a lot of sales normally, but the game was locked down, kind of conflicts with itself, I would say. Kind of, you say, well, this is the programme, and you say, aye, but there were no fans at the game. So this is obviously just produced solely for collectors. Whereas, you know, if you go back online, you will see the Peterhead Raith Rovers programme for the game. It never happened. You know? And the interesting thing with the programme figures online is that we are still getting online viewings for programmes. The first one that we ever did was against Aberdeen pre-season, and we've still got folk going and reading it now. So, the programme sales are never stopped, or the programme viewings are never stopped, because people are going back and they're going up. A bit like podcasts, etc. as well. You know, people, I'm telling you, our average for the thing was 9:30, but next week it could be higher, because there's still folk going back and watching the first one, you know. So the programme thing is definitely here to stay. That's one of the things we made sure that we've got lots of articles to write during the lockdown scenario. Ken Morton, who helps us produce the programme now, he'll be back at the beginning of October. He comes in one day a week to help us pull that together, just because of the amount of content it has now. Spoke to Ken this morning, so he's coming back the first Monday in October. So we'll be all systems go for that. And that's a huge revenue stream for us, the online programme, because of the numbers and because of where it's going overseas, obviously. It's a good advertising product, far better than what the actual match programme itself was, because you're only relying on people to come to the game to buy a programme. So now it's opened up to, you know, you might find that people advertising the programme online may not necessarily have any roots in Peterhead whatsoever. They might just be wanting to reach a unique audience. And the fact that it's been read everywhere between Canada, Tunisia and Australia is brilliant as well. So it's a good unique selling point for the advertisers that, you know, we can actually say, yeah, it is getting out there. So that's another example of how technology has helped us see through the whole thing. Of course, there were no technology. The lockdown wouldn't have been quite so bad because we wouldn't have heard all the negative stuff either.
You mentioned the advertisements there. What were your sponsors and that during the lockdown period? Or even for the new season, how is that coming along, the sponsorship for your normal advertising hoardings, etc.?
Well, I'll start with our Touchline advertising. Traditionally, we normally send out our invoices for the advertising for the year at the end of May. We didn't do that. We were conscious of the fact that businesses were in the same position as ourselves, and, you know, asking for somebody to pay for another advert at a field, at a football field, football stadium, where there was nobody actually going to physically see the advert, was a bit bold. I have to say, it would have been a pretty hard sell. So we made a decision not to do that. And we obviously had the... I mean, 2020 hasn't been a good year for Beat Right, because also we lost our shirt sponsor when the business failed, probably about a month before lockdown. So it was a bit of a double whammy for that. I can reveal tonight we have a new home shirt sponsor. I can't reveal who yet, but it's a Peterhead based company. And there'll be an announcement on that once we've got a shirt to show you. The actual design of the shirt is the same as it was last season, because it's a 2-year deal that we had with the manufacturer. The only thing that will change will be the sponsor's name on the front of the shirt. And this week we'll be going through the process of taking all the old branded shirts off the shelf at Balmoore and making arrangements for them to be replaced with the new branded shirts. The SPFL normally require a sleeve badge. I suppose pointing at my arm doesn't help on the radio, does it? We normally have 2 SPFL badges on the sleeves, but in order to help clubs generate some income, they've relinquished one of the arms. So we're again very close to securing a sponsor for that. So there'll be a name on the sleeve, and that'll be in place as long as the SPFL allows to put it in the arm, and it'll drop down to the shorts, because we've never had a short sponsor. Mm-hmm. So obviously there's some tight regulations on sizes and where you can advertise on team shirts. So certainly the sleeve is the more prominent, but the arrangement would be that they would drop down onto the shorts should the SPFL decide to take that back. So in that respect, things are moving slowly. I can also reveal we had planned to launch a third kit in the summer. For those of you who are aware, when we negotiate new kit designs with the manufacturer, it's always for a two-year period. Sometimes find that after 2 years that particular design has been withdrawn from the market altogether. So 2 years to 2 seasons is the norm. Hence the reason why we're sticking with the same design as last year for the whole kit. But we're conscious of the fact that because we change our kit every 2 years, the sales of kit in year two is significantly poorer to that of year one, because folk either buy a home kit or an away kit. Sometimes we're very fortunate and they buy both. But we are inundated with people coming to us in year two asking, is there a new kit this season? I said, well, no, we changed our kit last year, so it's got another year to go on it. Oh, that's a pity. I've got the home and away kit, but we're going away on holiday. So this has been a cost problem. So this year, for the first time, we were really organised. And we had the new kit. It's been in stock. since beginning of March. I think I came in about a week before lockdown. We're in the process of trying to secure a sponsor, and of course that all got knocked in the head. So it'll possibly be available for the start of the season, and available for purchase between now and Christmas, I would hope. So again, it was just to give the consumer an alternative every second year. And it was something, it wasn't a, I mean, I think folk are quite critical at times when they hear the clubs are producing a third kit, so it's the money making extras. Well, this was actually prompted by the number of requests we got from people. So what we're saying is, well, there's obviously a demand for it, and the demand is sufficient to justify, you know. So our plan was that we'd actually got permission from the SPFL to wear the kit twice before the end of the season, to get it out there and let people see it, so that you come and flock to the shop before you went on your holidays this summer. None of that happened, unfortunately. So, and so I mean, that's another, you know, we've it's a huge stock that's taken in for replica shirts. So that's a huge stock that had to be paid for, obviously. And we haven't been able to sell one shirt at the moment. But again, negotiations are at the advanced stage for a shirt sponsor there as well. So that might just take a wee bit longer to get over the line. But we're making good progress. So if you know anybody out there who would like to sponsor Peterhead FC third kit, then you know where we are.
Are you allowed to give us any indication of the colour, or is that giving away too much?
I'm not prepared to give it out. I want it to be a surprise. I'll tell you what, it's nae blue and it's nae pink.
That's for exclusive.
Diplomatic as ever. So getting on to the other stuff then. The coffee shop closed, the bar closed. The coffee shop is now open again. How successful has that been since the reopening?
Well, the cost of opening would scare you. But given the number of premises that have opened and closed again, that'll come as no surprise. A considerable amount of money was spent in getting the facility to, let's just say, COVID-19 standard. I think there was a wee bit of, I'm not going to say criticism, but, you know, I wanted to ensure that there was no possibility whatsoever that, you know, environmental health would come in and say, not acceptable. So we went for the highest spec. We knew that you could have tables set at 1 meter distance. When, I mean, there's a strange kind of rule in respect that the rule was 2 meters, unless you kind of manage 2 meters, and then 1 meter's okay. So, you know, I don't know how the virus can distinguish the difference from me. So, given that we had removed all our old stock, I mean, to let you understand, when we went into lockdown, staff spent two days removing all the spirits, etc., from the optics, cleaning down everything, taking the optics out of the bottles, sealing the bottles, setting aside stock that was going to go out of date during lockdown, or what we thought would be the lockdown period, etc. The brewery took back kegs of beer, etc. So the situation is, if we wanted to open the bar tomorrow, we couldn't, because we don't have the stock to justify it. We couldn't sell you a pint of beer. The coffee shop, I think the argument for getting the coffee shop open wasn't so much a financial requirement. Well, it certainly wasn't a financial requirement. It was more so that we've got a responsibility to the Peterhead community to try and give them as normal a life as possible. We are conscious of the fact that the coffee shop isn't just a coffee shop, it's a hub. And in a short time it's been in existence, we've seen so many regular people, older people, frail people, but it's a purpose. It's a, you know, there's some people come in regular as clockwork, you know, 11 o'clock every morning, two old ladies come in for their cup of coffee. It's a meeting place. So it's more than just a coffee shop. But given the fact that we've got no parking restrictions, unlike, premises in Queen Street, for example, where, you know, it's difficult to drop people off, we've got ample parking. And we've got ample space as well, because what we did is we incorporated the bar as part of the coffee shop. And we liaised with environmental health from day one, and we set out everything at 2 metres. We were doing things a wee bit different from some, in respect that from day one we were temperature checking, purely asking. I mean, you come to the coffee shop and say, how are you doing today, Colin? Have you been keeping all right? Now, it's a loaded question. A, we are generally going to kind of, you're all right. But B, we want you to tell us if you have had symptoms or anything. The last couple of weeks, we've been asking people, have you travelled far today? Because we really wanted to know, has somebody come out of the way for Aberdeen when they're not supposed to? You know, and sometimes you have to be pretty tough, but we haven't had any issues. And we've been asking people to register their names from day one. So when the new guidelines came out a week past Friday, the only thing that we had to change at the football club was mute the TVs. We were keeping the sound down, but they went further and said, no, TVs should be in mute with subtitles. That's the only thing we had to change. Everything was already in place. So that's almost like a backhanded compliment to the club for being forward thinking. But what we wanted to get across to folk was, we want your business, we're delighted to see you, but it has to be a safe, comfortable environment. You need to be, you need to feel safe, you need to feel comfortable. And sometimes it's difficult, and you know, the staff come back to me and said, you know, one particular lady, she spotted somebody she knew, and she went wandering across to that. Now, we're not the police, but we have a responsibility to other customers to remind people that, you know, these are the rules, and we're open because only because we have said that we'll get people to work within these rules. But the general feedback is it's one of the safest environments you'll get. And that's not to disrespect anybody else in Peterhead. Everybody's doing their bit and trying their hardest. But Balmore Stadium is one of the safest environments you'll get in Peterhead because we've got the luxury of having that additional space. So we're in a position now where we're accommodating funeral teas as well. Unfortunately, the numbers are restricted to maximum of 20, but we have a entry system put together so that we've got ease of access for those. They get their slips, their guest list slips in advance. So when they arrive at Balmore, there isn't a queue to get in or whatever. We compulsory check temperatures now, whereas in the past we were asking, we're making it compulsory. So everything was in place. From a financial viability, probably no. It's probably not worth worthwhile. We'll maybe be lucky if we're breaking even, to be perfectly honest. But it's getting us out there, and it's baby steps to getting back to a certain degree of normality. Now, interestingly, because the facilities are open to a certain degree, we actually had, and maybe, you know, guys aren't aware, but we regularly rent out our facilities upstairs for meetings, etc. So we had someone in yesterday and today who managed to work within our guidelines and our rules, and we had another inquiry this afternoon. For 3 days in a couple of weeks' time. So it's, as I say, it's baby steps to slowly get back there to where we were before. How long is it going to be before we get the bar open? I couldn't answer that one. At the moment, the coffee shop's not open at weekends. It may well be that the first stage of the bar reopening is Saturdays, Friday nights and Saturdays, maybe initially. Can't promise anything at this stage. What we won't be doing is doing anything where we open and then we have to close again because people will not cooperate with us. They just suspect it costs a lot of money to bring your premises up to scratch to meet the criteria. And if Joe Bloggs, and we've seen a lot of it, if Joe Bloggs is not prepared to respect that effort and that commitment, then we want to be opening. You know, it's got to be a two-way road. And I don't want to be a killjoy, but it's pretty serious stuff. And I think we've seen in Aberdeen how serious it is. Like I say, we're lucky because there's a lot of premises would have loved to reopen, but it just didn't have the... I mean, I know of a hotel, not in Peterhead. They're never in a million years going to... They only have six tables in their dining room. So they're not going to bring a chef in, you know, to accommodate two tables. That's never going to happen. So we're really, really lucky that we have got the flexibility. To let you understand, you come to a funeral at Peterhead, you come in, your temperature checked, you've got to put your slip in the box, you go upstairs, there's sanitizer when you come in the door, there's sanitizer when you get upstairs, there's a one-way system. One set of toilets are used only. Sanitizers, again, there's a social distancing of the tables, and you actually leave the premises via the main stand and out through the double gates next to the pie hut. So, you know, that takes up a lot of floor space. And when there was football was coming back and TV, etc., there was an initial response, well, can maybe watch games live. Yeah, but we couldn't. To comply to the regulations wouldn't be worth our while because you couldn't stop at 20 people, but we would have to stop at 20 people. And of course, the thing is, you've got to get people have got to sit at their seats as well. And one of the biggest issues is that the lack of understanding by the media, etc., of what is and what is not permitted. And it was a classic example just the other week there. National chain like Witherspoon's was being slated in the paper because a lot of premises allegedly didn't comply to the regulations. And the reporter who wrote the two-page spread then has a photograph of him standing at the bar with a pint saying, it's not all doom and gloom. This particular premises of Witherspoon was very safe, very good, took my name, took my temperature, etc. And here's a photo of me standing at the bar with a couple of guys with a pint. And I'm going, can't I do that? Can't I stand at the bar and have a drink? And here's a guy being critical of a company not following regulations, and he's breaking the regulations himself.
Yeah.
So, but that doesn't help, of course, that the regulations change almost on a daily basis. And where we found difficulties is depending who has heard what at what time of the day, we've all got different opinions, you know? And that's been pretty difficult as well.
Yeah.
Because, and I've got a great deal of sympathy for the teachers here because it's a similar situation. You'd hear what the regulations are, you'd get the email, you'd then spend the next 2 hours, 2.5 hours changing the paperwork and issuing the instructions to everybody, only to find that the next day they've had a rethink, they've changed it all. So you now have to go back and tell everybody, see what I told you yesterday, that's not what it is now. And folk can't keep track, and I really feel for the school teachers who went through all that work to operate the safe distancing procedures only to be told, oh, it doesn't matter, any, you know, they can come in under a different format.
Yeah.
And that must have been so frustrating because, you know, time and patience, etc. Maybe it's me, you know, some people are quite happy to do a job, tear it up, do the job again, and tear it up and do the job again. But I find it frustrating in the respect that you try to do things right and to the guideline, and then they move the goalposts. That's really quite difficult to take on board. So, yeah, the teaching profession has certainly got my sympathies. But we've really had to jump through hoops to get the coffee shop up and running. And we're delighted that it's been, we're having patrons. It certainly helped that we did the Eat Out to Help Out scheme. Rumours today that that might be extended now. Don't quote me on that. That's due to end on Monday. But that's been really good as well. I think folk thought it was maybe too good to be true that you can save up to a tenner each time you go to the coffee shop. Some people got it and were certainly coming three times a day, regular as clockwork. but we've got to do what we think is the right thing, and opening the coffee shop was the right thing in respect that it gives people somewhere to come. It sees the football club, and they see we're trying to do things right. We're not perfect. The menu's a wee bit limited, you know. Times are a wee bit restrictive. It's only 10 o'clock in the morning to 4. It's only Monday to Friday. But as I say, baby steps. We're certainly going the right direction. And hopefully, there comes a time when we're with a degree of, dare I say, normality.
How long did your poems take to make for your Facebook page?
Well, again, thanks to TV companies having a very poor back catalogue of programmes. They've been putting on so much drivel on TV. I sit with my telephone notepad, and whilst my wife and daughter are catching up in Home and Away or whatever, I just sit and diddle rubbish, basically. I mean, the plan was the Jim, Mark and Ali were actually planned to be our marketing tool for a coffee shop from the start of the season till Christmas. My thinking there was, you know, the snap, crackle, pop sort of scenario. And this is 100% true. If she's listening, she will know who she is. I'm not going to name names, but we had a girl who worked in the office, and she thought Jim, Mark and Ali were three different people. They thought they were the management team for the first team. And it wasn't thought it was pointed to no, it's Jim, Mark and Ali. She was upset. That's 100% true. So that's where the inspiration came for the names who were three characters. Listen, guys, if someone is constantly telling you, you can't do this, you can't do that, you must do this, you must do that, it's fair to say you get pretty hacked off. And, you know, nobody needs a football club preaching to them what the rules and the regulations of what you are allowed and what you aren't allowed to do. But I thought, well, if we can put it across in a humorous sort of way, then perhaps we can get the message across. So that's what we've tried to do is, you know, there's sort of three things we're trying to do at the moment. We're trying to advertise the coffee shop as a whole. We're trying to promote the menus, the safety aspect as to washing your hands and so on. So I think that's maybe tomorrow. And the Eat Out to Help Out campaign as well. Whether I can still manage poems this time in December, it's going to be a wee bit of a struggle. You know, that's one benefit of the fact that when he opens Saturdays and Sundays.
A couple of less poems.
Actually, we had a IT glitch a couple of weeks ago, haven't been able to work from home for a fortnight, haven't been able to get on the main system, where all the poems were stored, etc., and the photos, and I've actually been getting messages from folks saying, Farsworth poems, I miss my daily poem. started something new. So today was just back up and running again. Hats off to the lady that made the three characters for us as well. She knows who she is as well. Delighted I told her what I wanted, and then I went back there and said, "They're fantastic, but can I get masks for them?" And she just, just really didn't disappoint at all. So hopefully Jim, Mark, and Ali are with us until the characters are with us until Christmas. We hope Jim McAnally is with us for a considerable longer time than that. It's a bit of fun, but at the same time, there's a serious message we need to get across here as well. And no, we have been unable to source someone who will make these things so we can sell them in the shop. If I could, I would. You know me by now.
Oh, yeah. Is there a chance or a real possibility that the bar might not actually be open before the first game then, or on the first game?
Well, listen, guys, I've got news for you here. There may not necessarily be fans at the first game. I'm a big believer. if you see my office on a Saturday in the winter time, and folk phone up and say, "Is the game on?" And you've probably heard me at this already. The game is on until I tell you it's off. It's just simple as that. And likewise, as far as crowds back in stadiums, we can speculate all you want. But my take on it is there are no spectators in stadiums until we're told otherwise. And we can get our hopes up as much as we want. But until we're told, that's the way it is. So we are planning for games without fans. We have a plan for games with fans, providing we have a 1 meter social distance scenario. 2 meter distancing makes it a real challenge for us. So that's where we are as far as that concerned. So it's real difficult to say whether there'll be a bar open at that time. I'm as keen as anybody else is to get the facilities open right across the board.
Aye. Fitch your gut, what do you think is going to happen with fans? Do you think we'll get in? Do you think it'll be...
If I had a crystal ball, which I don't, I'll take you back a fortnight. 2 weeks ago, I would have said, more than likely, we'll start the Betfred Cup behind closed doors, and we'll get crowds in to a degree when the league starts. But today, it might be even better than that. But I don't know. That's the bottom line. So people should be prepared for thinking that we are going to start with no crowds. Now, this might be a good time to tell you what our plans are. No crowds means no crowds, so you don't need any explanation there. It's, we would even discourage folk from turning up to the car park in that situation. Limited crowds is a difficult one as well. We have put together a seating plan in the main stand. It's amazing how the numbers work out in respect that at 1 meter distancing, and we have been, it took us the best part of 3 days to get this worked out. So no one will argue with me. I said to the board, didn't even try to talk me. I said, okay, what works and okay, what doesn't work, because I've had to tear it up half a dozen times to get the final solution. At 1 meter distancing, we would be able to accommodate in the main stand all our executive club members, our match sponsor, and the home and away directors. That's all. Okay? Now, the question mark is, it might be tight to get all the executive club members in the hall for dining at a safe distance. That would be a challenge in its own right. But if the social distancing permitted is reduced to a meter for the main stand or the east stand, then we then would then concentrate on seeing how we would get, based on last season's figures, how we would get 82 people in for meals in the main stand. Now, we mustn't forget, we have main stand season ticket holders. So, the proposal would be that the east stand would accommodate the normal east stand season ticket holders, and for a temporary period of time, the main stand season ticket holders. But in order to accommodate that, there would be no away fans in the east stand. We would need to utilise both sections. And based on last year's figures, we would have 12 fans who would be disappointed. We've not enough seats. There's 12 more fans than we have seats for. Having said that, year on year, there's normally a bit of change figure wise. So we could operate possibly with on that basis. We are currently looking at a means of having a facility behind both goals so that fans might be elevated so that they can see the game better than they would be if they were standing on the flat, because as you and I know, that if you take 200 fans from standing behind the goals, they all stand next to the barrier or as close to the barrier as possible. Well, that wouldn't achieve what we're required to achieve. So it could be that we might have some form of standing zone so that people can stand, but we'd also have to limit the number of tickets that are on sale on the day. So, as I say, these plans are all in place. What I can reveal is that in the next couple of weeks, the equipment has been delivered. We are installing a fixed camera system which will allow us to stream games live, whilst now the broadcasting rules are you can't stream games live in the UK under normal circumstances. These are not normal circumstances. So we will be streaming games live whilst there is restrictions on crowds. Restrictions on crowds means if it's behind closed doors or we're told it's reduced numbers. I mean, one of the things that's been bandied about, crowds might be able to open operating on 25% of their capacity. Well, the good news there is 25% of our capacity is 800 and our average crowd last year was 750. So, you know what I'm saying there. But as long as there's restrictions in place, we are allowed to stream games live on your phone, the computer, iPad, smart TV, whatever. So the tickets have arrived, but I haven't done the marketing stuff yet. So watch this space. There could be an announcement at the end of the week, certainly no later than the beginning of next week. But season ticket holders, tickets will be made available. Obviously, prices are based on the season ahead. So obviously, there are a reduced number of games. So the cost has been calculated accordingly. So if you buy a season ticket for 2020-21, you'll buy it at the reduced fixture price. Okay, still gets you into cup games. Hopefully, we'll have lots of them. But in addition to that, you will get free access to the online streaming for games played at Balmoor. So that comes no extra charge. As long as we are allowed to do that, you will get that for nothing. Obviously, it means if you're working offshore, you're not to watch the game. So, you know, you're going on a short holiday, but, you know, why are you going on holiday during the football season? But in that respect, that gives you the opportunity to still see your team and for your ticket at no extra cost. Now, there's an added caveat in respect that if you are an existing season ticket holder, you bought a season ticket last year and you are renewing your ticket, you pay for your ticket at the new season's price and you get the free streaming facility. But obviously we're conscious of the fact that last season was cut short. Okay? Now, I'm delighted to tell you this. Not one, and I'll say this loud and clear so everybody could hear, not one Blue Toon fan has asked for a refund. Not one. And Peterhead fans, you are to be applauded for that. But the club recognised that. So therefore, what we're saying to you is, if you renew your season ticket, you get all these added benefits, but you would be arguably entitled to a 10% discount on the basis that the season was cut short last year. Mm-hmm. What we are asking, with gritted teeth, what we're asking is, if the fans renewing their season ticket would like to donate that 10%, okay, you've spent that money anyway, so what we're saying is, if you do not want your 10% discount, we are going to erect a board in the main corridor, the glass corridor upstairs, and it will be for everybody that supported the club financially during the summer of 2020. And it will be a wee bit of a payback, so it's a... When he's saying buy a brick, we're just saying, didn't ask for your 10% off, and we will reward you by putting your name up in that wall, and that'll be up there as long as can be.
Yeah.
We've already, I mean, there's been some kids that were booked in for coaching at Easter, didn't come off, and the summer one's cancelled, and it's fair chance that the October one could be cancelled as well at this stage. And some of those have said, actually, we didn't want the money back for the kids' coach and went to keep it. So that youngster's name is going to go up in the... So it's going to be a wall of fame, not a hall of fame, a wall of fame. I think that's just a nice wee acknowledgement for the club. But yeah, I'm trying to put pressure on anybody, but no one has asked for their money back. But I appreciate it. It is, joking apart, it is hard times. The opportunity will be there. So what I'm saying is, season tickets will be on sale, if not the end of this week, certainly the beginning of next week. It'll include free subscription to the online streaming of the games, home games only. As I say, if you're prepared to write off the 10% of the ticket price, which was the discount given for renewals, then your name will go up in the wall of fame. Possibly even a picture as well. We'll possibly be able to do a graphic. There's so much facilities available now. We think it's really important that folk are remembered for their efforts. It's arguably, it's not a huge amount of money, but it is money, and people have got bills to pay as well. So we're not going to be.
It's a gesture, and there's a lot of clubs have failed to give even just a gesture to their fans, I think.
Yeah, well, I'm not here to criticise what other clubs have or have not done. We're conscious of the fact that, you know, some clubs were selling season tickets and they didn't count how many teams were going to be in their league at that time.
Yeah.
That may well have influenced the way they voted over reconstruction. You know, I guess not, because suddenly they realised that they've maybe just been slightly ahead of the game. But anyway, that aside, you know, as Mr. Steen once said, we're nothing without the fans. I think the Wall of Fame is a great way. I'm just thinking, the young lad there that was booked in for the coach, he's going to be able to go up and show his mates, it's me up in the water. Yeah. So I think that's a real plus. The installation of this equipment has come at a considerable cost, but Peterhead were also fortunate in securing grant funding through the SPFL Trust COVID-19 grant. Obviously, that was made possible thanks to the philanthropist James Anderson, who donated money to the trust, and all 42 of the SPFL clubs were able to apply for a grant. We were successful in getting the full grant for that. We were told no strings attached, but the conditions are that it's spent on community-based projects. This falls within the community-based project in respect that, in addition to supporters, season ticket holders being able to access it free, we are also going to make it available to hospitals, nursing homes, people who are housebound, people with underlying health conditions that prevents them from being able to go to games where there is a genuine risk to their health through the COVID-19. There are a multitude of very well-supported charity organisations within the Buchan area. And I'll use Stella's Voice and the Buchan Giving Tree for two examples. If an individual is registered with any of these charities, they also will be eligible to get access to the games free of charge. There is a process where there's an application form that can be nominated by a carer or even a neighbour or whatever, but there's a nomination process. We have a panel of two people who look at it, one someone for the club and someone independently. So we feel it's a worthwhile cause. Then they will get access to that. And this will all be in place for the start of the season. And we have led the way with this in respect that the facility, the online streaming facility, came available on the basis that the championship clubs have done a deal with BBC, I think it might be BBC Alba. So there's going to be a Friday night magazine programme on television, and they're going to show the highlights or the goals from the previous week's game. So all 10 clubs there were installing the equipment. The company, who are Israeli-based, had said we could put together a package if other clubs wanted to install this equipment. Peterhead could not have looked at this in any other way. We're basically getting it at half price, and it's been funded through the grant. It's a huge spend. It's a huge chunk of the money. Where do we benefit going forward? Obviously, once it's all done and dusted, we will still have the equipment. So if someone's in Australia and wants to watch the Peterhead game, once the restrictions are lifted here, and you won't be able to watch games streamed live in the UK, but you will from overseas. So I reckon how far out to sea in a fishing boat you'd have to go to watch a game live. But that will still be available on subscription. We are currently speaking to our colleagues in League 1 and League 2 about streaming rights. And we are hoping to come to an agreement where, for the next season anyway, that all the home clubs keep all the revenue from the streaming rights. Now, to give you some example, if Partick Thistle normally take their media team to Peterhead, they probably have about a dozen people located in the East Stand filming the game, and they're streaming that game to Partick Thistle fans all over the world, somewhere about £10 a pop. But during lockdown, they could be doing selling this to 200 or 300 people in Glasgow at £10 a pop. Suddenly the numbers is quite significant. Some clubs have chosen not to install this equipment. So we're arguing, and we've got a good level of support. We're arguing, and I was using Partick Thistle as an example, but we've got a good level of support that because clubs have invested the money in this product, that we should be allowed to keep 100% revenue for these games, because the clubs who haven't participated, the argument is, why should they get half an hour streaming money when they don't have a streaming facility themselves?
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So for the short term, it could be a wee bit of a money spinner for the club as well. A lot of thought is going into this. A lot of work's going into it. We've got to pay tribute to Councillor Diane Beagrey, who has been very helpful in getting the charities on board. I think there was an element of, what's a catch? This is too good to be true. I'm in the middle of preparing the flyers and the forms. I'll be going to the SPFL Trust probably tomorrow at some point to get some quotes, and we'll be making this public knowledge probably Wednesday, Thursday at the latest, but you guys have got the heads up. It's definitely happening. And we're really, really pleased that we've kind of led the way here, because I know Cove Rangers have gone down the same route as us and respect it. You know, it's a great opportunity. I'm surprised that some clubs have chosen not to do it. The good thing for you guys this year is, of course, if there is closed doors or restricted numbers, or it's recommended you don't travel or whatever, you know, you will be able to subscribe to other clubs' channels and watch. So, you know, if we're playing Partick Thistle for Hull, you'll be able to go on line and watch the game, where normally you'd have to sign up otherwise or be overseas. So there will be opportunities to watch a Blue Tune this year, for sure. Hence the reason why you're getting a great deal, somebody takes an advertising badge in their sleeve, because you really are going to be out there.
Yeah.
And that's why we are going to be contacting our touchline advertisers in the coming days and weeks, because there's now a sellable product where there wasn't before. You're certainly going to be in front of a lot more people than under normal circumstances. So there's been almost a wee bit of a silver lining out there. But we're excited about it. It's something completely new to us. There's lots of terminology I just didn't even begin to understand. We've got a couple of good people on board to help us with it. As I say, the equipment's sitting in my office, and it's been installed 2nd, 3rd of September. And the plan is that we'll be up and running by the first home game of the season. It also means that in the future, we'll be able to record friendlies, all games, without anybody actually having to be there. I think there's plans that you'll be able to watch the goals only, or be able to watch the highlights. I didn't quite understand how it works and what the highlights are. Even if there was an event at a stadium, let's say, for example, you know, the fire brigade played the police in an annual challenge match, we've now got the facility that we could produce a DVD of that game, you know, they could sell it for charity or whatever. So it gives us scope for things going forward as well.
Yeah. So all in all then, difficult circumstances for the club last 6 months, but light at the end of the tunnel?
Yeah. It's certainly going in the right direction. But I mean, something I couldn't have come on here the night without paying tribute to my chairman, because Roger Morrison's been phenomenal during the lockdown, and I'm not just saying that. Well, I joke about Roger and about a leg pulling, etc., but sincerely, I don't know where we would be today if it wasn't for Roger Morrison. And I know he'll dismiss that in a minute. And I know there'll be people out there saying, rubbish, can't I believe that. Believe you me, I speak to Roger on average 4, maybe 5 times a day on the phone. Normally it's a bit quieter at weekends, but not unusual to be speaking to each other a couple of times on a Sunday as well. It's certainly enhanced our relationship tenfold. We're both singing from the same hymn sheet as to where we want the club to be and how we want to get there. It's really important to me that I've got a supportive chairman, and I'd like to think it's helpful for him to know that he's got somebody reliable in the background to get on with the mayor sort of boring bits of stuff and getting the letters out and doing that type of thing. But he's never let up. Bear in mind, he's had family bereavements, a wee bit of ill health himself, and yet he's been a power of strength, and he's never away from the place, and he's just really has got to be commended. And if nobody else is going to say it, I am, because here's to Roger. He's done a fantastic job. And no, I'm not trying for a pay rise.
He was good enough to come on with us a few weeks ago as well. And he was very open. He didn't sort of shirk any of the difficult questions that we thought we were giving him. But no, he was very good, and we kind of praise him enough.
Lives and breathes Peterhead Football Club. That's the thing. Yeah. And I'm getting that way myself, and it's not his fault.
You make it sound like a bad thing.
No. I've worked for a few different clubs over the years. And allows me a Rothes loan. There's no doubt about that. But I hope the relationship with Peterhead and myself lasts for a long, long, long time yet. I love my job. I love the club. I love the people at the club. I love the Peterhead community. It's not easy, you know, coming into a, you know, hey, listen, I had big shoes to fill. I had massive shoes to fill. And I will never replace Natty Porter. Right? Let's get that clear. Natty Porter is a living legend in Peterhead, and I'll never replace him. I do things my way, and I'm nae Natty Porter. I make that loud and clear. But it was difficult to follow somebody of that, you know, stature. But right from day one, I was welcomed by the Peterhead community. And that, you know, I mean, I've been in this village now for best part of 15 years, and I'm at that stage here. Okay? Peterhead's been fantastic for me. Love a place to bits, love the people. And I'm not being patronising. That's absolutely heartfelt. You know, well, here we are sitting at what, 7:30 at night, still speaking fit, but still speaking Peterhead. I hope that, I know things are never forever, you know, but I hope it's the way it is for a long, long time yet, because I love my job to bits. And that's partly why you put in the ridiculous amount of hours that you do, because it's near 40 hours a week job, you know. If you can keep it in double figures, you're doing well. That's what I would say. It's just everybody is trying so hard to achieve the same things. Now, don't get me wrong, we have our moments. I think I've managed to fight with Abdi at least once. Some folk, fairly regularly. But we've all got the same aim at the end of the day. And if we can get there as a collective. And I saw what it meant to the Peterhead community and the Peterhead staff, etc., when the guys lifted that trophy at Hampden 2 years ago. It meant an awful lot to me as well. But the real reward for me was seeing Abdi's faces, and, you know, the delight. That's worth 1,000 trophies as far as I'm concerned. As long as Peterhead people want me, I'm delighted to be there. Listen, don't get me wrong, guys, it's been troubled times. And when you see what's been happening elsewhere, there comes a point when you say, well, you know, you kind of live on, you kind of continue to, the following ends, you kind of continue to pay somebody, there's no revenue coming in. But hey, I'm 56, far am I going to go at my age? Yeah. So you know, I'll do what I can for the club as long as I can, as long as the club with me. I just absolutely love it. But I really have to take my hat off to Roger, because, you know, he's at a certain age. He could have a very comfortable lifestyle without any of the hassle. Yet he chooses every day to get up. Nayers and graces about him either. He puts in a huge amount of work. And I kind of thank him enough for the efforts he's made during the summer. It's been absolutely brilliant. Great guy to work for. Great guy.
Well, Martin, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on again. We could go on all night. Sadly, we have to call it a day there. But it's been great. And again, thanks for your honesty for coming on and answering the questions again. And I'm sure everybody's listening. We'll hope that we're going to be back and back to kind of normality as such within the next sort of 6-7 weeks.
Yep. I'm really hoping to see as many people back as possible. It's going to be difficult for a start because there are some people that are not going to be there. People that were with us last season are not with us, you know, the next season, and that's going to be difficult. And that's the kind of, as I say, going back to the previous subject, that's the kind of bond, that's the kind of hold you've got over me now. You know, we would be just looking forward to getting the guys back through the door so they can come and watch their beloved Blue Toon. That would be great.
And that's all we're looking for as well. Just get back in again.
Yeah.
Thanks very much again, Martin. Thank you.
No worries.
Yeah, cheers. Thank you for coming on, Martin. Cheers.
Cheers now.
A big thank you to Martin for taking the time to join us and for the club updates. Thanks also go to our sponsor, Marco's Chipper, and to you guys for listening as ever. That's it for this week. We'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.